Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, and I'm pleased to be joined by Bo Wolf, Fran Duffy, and our special guest, drum roll, please. Does Brian Thomas have a drum roll? Okay, applause. We got applause. We'll take applause.
I want to hear any of the drops. That's brutal.
I love it. I love it.
A little louder.
Safety Chris Maragos. Chris, welcome to the show. And
first question, which name do you prefer?
Okay,
Eagles Insider Podcast or Eagles Beakley?
Hey, whatever. Don't matter.
Oh, there you go.
Pick one. Come on.
Oh, look at see, look, come on.
Yeah. He's got a running tally that he's been working on.
He's a little biased.
Furiously.
He's a little biased when it comes to it. So Chris, obviously last year you played in Seattle, won a Super Bowl. You come here to Philadelphia. Eagles are 3-0.
Hey, man.
I mean, it's got to be the Maragos magic.
Hey, you know, I mean, I like to think I'm a little good luck, so maybe they should keep me around here forever, you know?
That's good.
You had your first taste of the NFC East rivalry with the big win over Washington, 37-34. Mm-hmm. What's your take on moving into what the NFC East is like?
You know, it's obviously you can tell there's a lot of passion involved. You know, obviously, you know, things run deep here. And, you know, this is definitely one of those divisions that's, you know, black and blue division in terms of, you know, just the style and just the way people play. So, you know, we're from Philadelphia, man. We play hard. And, you know, we're really excited to get a win in the NFC. And, you know, continue to keep moving forward here.
How did the sort of the rivalry, the passion of that game compare to some of the Seahawks-Niners games?
Yeah, it was up there. You know, I mean, obviously things were a little charged up with Deshaun and, you know, just some different things and a lot of history there too. So,
no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, right, yeah, no. And, but yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was a hard-fought game. And, you know, those divisional games, you're always just a little bit extra sore after those games. You know, just the way the hitting's going on and just, you know, the type of stuff going on. But, it's great to get that win.
After the hit on Foles from Chris Baker, talk about how it just kind of just stepped it up a notch there.
You know, I think, you know, it definitely did. You know, I think it charged everybody up. I think, you know, for whatever reason, it kind of sets everybody into a different mindset and a different mode. And, you know, definitely gave us motivation to really kick it up and finish the game the way we wanted to.
Have you seen any of the memes or the GIFs or anything floating around from that whole scenario?
Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you what. I was joking with Nick, man. I'm like, dude, I'm surprised you even got up from that one, man. So he's like, man, I'm not used to getting hit like that. You know what I mean? So it was good. He was trying to give me some moves in the locker room. I was like, man, those moves might have helped out on Sunday if he would have kind of sidestepped them. But yeah, you know, I mean, Nick's a tough guy and a fierce competitor, and you got to love having that as your quarterback.
Now, Chris Baker still insists. He actually just tweeted a photo not that long ago from the time that we're taping this that it was a perfectly legal hit, that you've got to play to the whistle. How are you guys taught to treat the quarterback in such situations?
You know, obviously you want to be smart. You know, obviously you respect every player that crosses the lines out there. You know, I mean, this is, you know, guys have invested really their whole lives to get to this point. So you want to play physical, you want to play tough, but you also want to play within the rules. So, you know, the refs, they call what they call and the players play. And, you know, what happened. And we were just fortunate Nick was able to bounce back from it. And, you know, nothing really serious came out of it.
As far as I'm concerned, the rules I would abide by are, if Jason Peters thinks it's a foul,
that would be the last guy I want coming at me. I don't know. He looked pretty upset. So, I mean, I'm glad he's on our team.
Well, yeah, I take his word for it.
The reason I asked you about the memes, my favorite one that I saw was a shot of Jason Peters, and it was they had the scene from Anchorman with the street fight.
Oh, this one
and
I haven't seen.
It was Jason Peters' head with on Steve Carell's head with holding the trident, and it said that escalated quickly. That was by far my favorite one.
I got to check that one out.
Yeah,
man.
That was good.
We got to pull that up somehow.
So, Chris, special teams played a huge role in Sunday's win. Take me through Chris Polk. First time he touches the ball this season.
Yep.
You know, doesn't play all preseason with a hamstring, misses the season opener. Mm-hmm. First touch of the year, takes a kickoff 102 yards to the house.
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, Chris is a dynamic player. You know, he's got a really, you know, rare combination of size and speed. And, you know, we just have a lot of confidence in him. So, you know, him going back there, you know, we really felt that, you know, we really have an opportunity to have something special happen every time he gets the ball in his hands. And so, you know, guys really blocked it up well. You know, he made a guy miss, which you have to do. And, you know, it's really the perfect storm. You know, I mean, it's you can have, you know, out of the 10 guys blocking, you can have all 9 blocking right. But if one guy doesn't get their block, that's the guy that makes a tackle. And so it's really unique to score. And we were just really fortunate to do that and springboard our team, you know, to really give it a boost.
So what do you think was the hardest in terms of blocking for that play?
Yeah.
You had the great double team there from Casey Matthews and Acho.
Yep.
And then you had the great block from Trey Burton as well. Yep. What's harder, timing up that block from Trey or holding the double team as long as those guys did up front?
I would say the timing, you know, aspect, just because, when you're running down on kickoff, usually you have quite a bit of levels. And, if you don't time it right, then guys are able to slip off blocks or maybe fold or, you know, stack players are stacking or folding or maybe disrupting, you know, just the way it's going. So I would say the timing was really, really important. Obviously, double team, you got two guys that are going to take on one, but you know, for somebody to really hit the timing perfect and then for the ball to split right as the blocks happen is really, really key in having a lot of success there.
Chris, once you realize that Chris Polk is going to be taking it to house,
yep.
What's your first reaction? Are you looking for flags? Are you looking at the sideline? Are you just getting pumped? What's your take on once you realize that, look, it's wide open spaces for
checking
him?
Your speed dial to see how long it takes Chris to get into the end.
Yeah, exactly. My first reaction was as he was running, how fast can I run to catch up to him so that I can make fun of him about how much faster I am than him when we get to the film session. So, obviously, you know, those plays come around every once in 2 years maybe where you really get a guy that can score unless you have, you know, a dynamic guy, you know, really back there. And so, you know, it's special and, something you can hang your hat on.
Also on special teams, big swing was Washington's kicker, doinks the one off the upright.
Yep.
Cody Parkey comes in late in the game, 51-yard yep. field goal. If he misses this field goal, look, Washington have a great field position. Yep. They're going to be in perfect shape.
Yep.
This is a kid who was a rookie, wasn't with the team until halfway through
yep.
through training camp, through the preseason. Mm-hmm. What's it like to have a kid like Parkey come in and just as automatic, it seems like, once it's beyond 50?
Yeah. He's exceptional young talent. You know, he's got a strong leg. I think the most impressive thing is just his mental capacity, you know, just the way he approaches every kick. I see him watching film on stuff. You know, usually you don't get a lot of kickers that do that. And so, he's obviously a very driven guy, and he really wants to be perfect. And you know, it's kind of almost like a golfer, right? You know, you gotta be in your mechanics and you gotta stay within your rhythms and you gotta be honed in on your skill set. And he really does a good job of, really staying in with that. And we're really fortunate to have him. He's been a great asset to our team and really excited moving forward.
It's almost as if he's from another planet.
That's good.
We'll take it.
I think one aspect of teams that fans really kind of lose sight of is those core special teams guys, the guys that play on the four main special teams units. Who do you think are the guys that are make up the core special teams unit for this team?
Outside of yourself, of course.
Obviously,
Chris.
Yeah.
Well, you know, who else is there besides me?
Yeah.
We really have a great unit, man. It's actually been so fun working with these guys. Everybody's dialed in. You get a guy, you know, like a Brian Brayman out there. You get guys like Trey Burton that's playing a lot, Emmanuel Acho, Casey Matthews, the list goes on, Chris Polk, you know, Brad Smith, you know, all these guys that are just making unique strides. And the cool thing is everybody's so selfless. You know, it's not about one person. Everybody understands that we're all tied in together. And when you get a group of guys like that, special things happen. And that's why we've been able to have so much success this first part of the season. And hopefully we're going to keep building on that and having more of that as the season continues to go on.
Burton's been an interesting guy. He made that big tackle on the kickoff return as well. Yep. Interesting to see just an undrafted rookie in only three games be such a big part of special teams.
Absolutely. You know, actually, that's one of the guys I've been really impressed with. He's actually way further along than what I was as a rookie. So just to see his capacity to be able to understand things and his desire to want to be better is really, really great. And that's really all you can ask. And so when you get a guy with a really good skill set that can run and who's physical like him and then also has, just the wherewithal to understand special teams and then also have a drive to be great, guys continue to build off of who they are, and that's how great players become, established in this league.
4 years ago, he was a quarterback.
Right.
He wasn't doing anything on special teams.
Look at this guy. He's running on kickoff now, you know, blocking on, you know, kickoff returns.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, he's been a unique guy. He's kind of almost like a jack of all trades and really unique on the different matchups you can give him because of his speed and his size too as well. So,
Chris, this team is 3-0.
Yep.
You guys have come from behind in all three of the games. I think you're the first team ever to have double-digit deficits and win each of the three games. What makes this team so resilient?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a team built on character. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, Coach Kelly does such a good job of putting the right guys in the locker room, establishing this culture, as he always says. And, when you have the right type of guys working together, when things get tough, you know, guys just keep pounding and they keep grinding away and they keep doing the right things longer and longer and longer. And, you win those close games, you know, because the team is built on character, discipline, integrity, all those types of things. And Coach Kelly really understands that. He really, you know, does a good job when he's deciding the roster on the meshes of guys and how it goes together. You know, you might see a guy who's maybe not quite as good as maybe another guy, but he's important in other areas. And so just how all that flows together and really what that's been able to do for our team has been really, really great.
This Sunday, Eagles play the 49ers.
Yeah.
And you've been a part of that rivalry with Seattle.
Yep.
Are you going to the locker room telling guys, we got to crush them, this one we got to get? Well, what are you telling the guys heading into this game?
You know, I think the biggest thing is this is a team that's been deep in the playoffs before. It's a team that's got a good mix of young players with young talent, but a lot of veterans who have played a lot of football in big-time football and big-time moments. So these are experienced group guys, and we really need all four quarters and really every guy to really do what we need to do, especially going to play at their place. So, you know, these guys are really coached well. I know that being with this staff, you know, they have a tremendous amount of pride in what they do, and it's going to take really everybody, every single snap, you know, to get this win.
Who are some of the guys who are still there from when you were there?
Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Kaepernick, Crabtree, Vernon Davis, Bruce Miller, really a lot of their offensive line.
Any good embarrassing stories?
A few of their defensive backs.
I mean, this is the time to do it. Just
now's the time to throw
right?
Out of the
yeah,
bus.
I got to think about that one. Okay. I have to come back to that.
What's the most difficult thing when you're preparing for that offense? Is it the misdirection, read option element of the run game, or is it all the matchup guys they've got in the pass game?
You know, they have a lot of different matchups. You know, I mean, they have a really unique skill set in terms of all the different dynamic guys that they have, you know, from offensive weapons. You know, you got a guy like Anquan Boldin who's really crafty, sure-handed, has played a lot of football. Michael Crabtree, who's an explosive receiver, really good runner after the catch. Mm-hmm. You know, Vernon Davis, you know, speaking the obvious with his speed and athleticism. You know, and then you guys got guys like Frank Gore that run the ball, big lineman up front, a quarterback who's really dynamic, a dual threat. So it poses, you know, a big threat as a defense, and we just have to do our best to contain these guys and, you know, put our best foot forward.
How much of a challenge is Kaepernick, especially with the way they're designing runs, to really take advantage of that athleticism?
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, he has such a strong arm. I mean, that's one of his better strengths. I mean, the guy, sometimes you see him, he's got a defensive lineman on him, and he's slinging that thing 25 yards out of bounds, you know, and it's just, it's really impressive to see his arm strength, and then obviously his speed is so unique and dynamic for a quarterback. You know, you usually don't see guys that athletic that can run that well. So, you know, it really poses a threat to us. We got to really contain him, make sure, you know, we can get pressure on him, you know, make sure that all of our pass rushers are in their lanes. And obviously we need to cover down the receivers and tight ends.
Jim Harbaugh. Obviously, he's had a lot of success there. We were joking about this with you before the interview.
Yep.
You're a big fan of him, of his job as a head coach.
Oh, man.
Snip, snip.
Yeah, right, yeah. No, he kind of let me go one time. So.
Didn't kind of.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, pretty much all the way. Yeah. So. yeah, but, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, he's a really great coach, really understands the game of football really well. You know, obviously, you know, has a really, really good understanding of the game and putting their team in, you know, great situations, preparing their team. So I know firsthand, you know, how hard it's going to be to win this game. And I'm really looking forward to it, though.
One of the biggest differences when you look at the stats between the Eagles and the Niners is the Eagles are the best second half team in football this season. Right. While the Niners have not been able to score, they've been outscored by 49 points in the second half of games this season. What is it about the way that Chip prepares you guys to be so dominant in the second half?
You know, I think it's just, you know, it's part of just the type of guys that we have on this team that just never quit, never give up. And then also, too, you know, we really practice and we try to treat every rep the same. So whether it's the first snap of practice or the last snap of practice, you know, we're trying to put ourselves in a really good position, you know, to just sustain, you know, a high level of intensity of playing. And, you know, I think we've really been able to do that. And I think that's why we just continue to just keep grinding away in games and grinding away. And then we just keep continuing to go and go and go. And, you know, really able to, you know, pull out those wins toward the end there. So
Chris, we've kind of put you through the podcast car wash.
There it is,
so
man.
So to speak this week. Bo, he's a special guest on Years
yeah,
as well.
Chris and Nate Allen.
Well,
competed,
we don't want to give away the ending.
We don't want to
tease the ending.
I said competed.
We competed?
It's a tease. We can do a little tease.
I don't know, man. I might have to give away that one. I'm pretty proud of my
We'll have to see what the game is. And
I put my best foot forward that day, that's for sure.
So it'll be up on Friday. So
check it out.
When you find out you're going on the Wolf's Den podcast and you go into this room, what is your immediate reaction?
Oh, man. I mean, we were stuffed in there, you know, just I like it though, man. You know, it's not about all the glitz and glam. You know, I'm sitting around in here, man. This place is great, you know, in here. So doesn't matter where you are, man. So it's good.
Chris, home is where you make it.
That's it, right?
Speaking of home, Philly is your home now. How much are you loving the city of brotherly love? It seems like you just have that perfect mentality. Mindset, the scrapping. It's just everything about your story and how you got here, I think, just resonates so well.
Yeah. Well, I live down in South Philly, so I'm half Greek, half Italian. So my whole neighborhood is all Italian, so they're like freaking out. Everybody's loving it, you know. They get to cheer for an Italian guy. Yeah, right. You know? Right. So the neighbors are dropping off bread at my house. You know, I mean, it's like phenomenal. You know, so
that's it.
It's been great. You know, Philly's cool city. Obviously, you hear a lot about it, and you know the fans are really passionate. You know, before you come here, but you know, really just being here, it's just such a tight knit city. You know, people take care of each other. They look out for each other. I mean, granted, you know, there's an edge to everybody. But it's great, you know, and, you know, everybody really cares and things run deep here, which I really appreciate. And the fans have been awesome for us these first few games, and we're going to need them to carry us through the season, too.
You're like the real life Rocky over there. We can put you on a statue soon.
Hey, man. We can talk to Mr. Lure. Maybe they can put a statue up for it. I don't know.
We'll love to have Mr. Lure.
Let's see if that'll get approved or not. Yeah.
Do we have the questions, or are we not doing that?
We do have some questions. All right. Before we let you go, Chris, all right, game that we love to play.
All right, here we go.
All the guests we bring on, pick a number from 1 to your number 42.
Okay.
And I'll give you the question, and then we can obviously discuss. And
well, there's no other number to guess than 42, so.
All right, let's see. So, Brian, I'm going to warn you, Brian Thomas, our producer, picked the questions. I'm not taking responsibility for these.
Awesome. These better be good.
These are awesome. There
you go. Speaking of Philly, Philly cheesesteak or Wisconsin grilled cheese?
Ooh, Philly cheesesteak, man.
There you go.
Okay.
What a blowout of a question. Like,
got some meat.
Would you rather sleep for 10 hours or not sleep at all?
Well, after the Super Bowl, did you sleep after the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. No, and I didn't sleep after the Super Bowl, and then we flew back, and then we had the victory parade, and then I had a baby the next day. So,
oh, my God.
I didn't sleep for about a week, man. It was pretty rough. So
that's got to be the most awesome time.
It was crazy. It was probably the best week ever. It was pretty fanatic. It was pretty awesome.
All right, next question. So you got 42 out of the way.
All right, let's go 21.
21. Your favorite subject in school?
Ooh, gym class, obviously, okay. for sure, because it was easy.
Yeah. What do you got next?
All right, let's go with 11.
Number 11. Do you dance or sing passionately? And the word passionately is in here. When no one is watching,
we can hold
up to the camera so everyone can see passionately.
What is this? One of those handbags? Like dance like no one's watching or whatever.
Oh, I would have to say I can't sing a lick, so dance.
Okay.
Dance when
but
no
you
one's
do,
watching.
But you do do it. I think the main thing that you do. If no
I got moves.
Watching.
Don't sleep on me.
Really? Okay.
Oh yeah. No, come on. Hey, just if I ever score a touchdown, you guys just watch out. Just remember.
Do you have it planned?
All you guys, you got these cameras around. Just get the camera up on me. So
do you have it planned?
I got a plan. So
see?
You guys.
Oh wow.
So you guys just better cross your fingers. I get in the end zone.
But Chris, the thing is, a lot of players say that. The problem becomes they get that moment.
And then
they blank.
They freeze up.
Oh, I forget. I figure you'll live up to the moment.
I'm
but
calm
still.
Under pressure, you know? Calm under pressure.
Does anybody give Jordan Matthews any flack for he catches his first touchdown and he runs out of the back of the end zone and he just eats it right in the back behind the field goal post?
Eats it.
I thought that was the second one.
And then
that was the first one.
Yeah, did he even take the ball? I don't even
know.
I think he even dropped
the ball,
too. He lost his mind. He's a rookie. That's all right. We'll teach him.
Nick had to go back and pick the ball.
That's right.
Did he? Yes. He got it, though? Yeah, all right. Did. That's good, at least.
I actually asked Jordan in the locker room just earlier today, just, hey, what'd you do with those two balls? And he just goes, my parents have them at the house, and they're material items, and, you know, the memories will fade away. Chris, one last one, so, before
we
let you go.
All right, here we go. Let's go 35.
35.
Trevard Lindley.
Favorite Philadelphia sports team besides the Eagles?
Got to go with the Sixers. I got faith. They're going to be good, man. You know, it's a young team. You know, they're storing up draft picks, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I was a big Allen Iverson fan, so.
Okay.
You know, I'm really, hopefully they can bring it, turn around, so.
You played on the off-season hoops team, correct? Yeah, you
off-season
showed.
Hoops team, man. I got a couple try-hard minutes in there, you know. I'm not necessarily the ideal basketball player, but I was out there.
Yeah. Contributed to the team's success.
Good time. I was a good cheering everybody on. Drawing up plays, you know, just, you know, being that guy.
There you go.
Chris Maragos, continued success.
Appreciate
Best of luck this Sunday and the rest of the entire season.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. All right, welcome back to Eagles Insider Podcast. Special thanks to Chris Maragos for joining us on this week's edition. Before we wrap things up, we're going to take one last look back, at the game over Washington, the big win there. And we'll preview this Sunday's matchup with San Francisco. And just some final thoughts on the Washington game. I just love how Nick Foles carried the offense when he had his struggles, his ups and downs in the first two games of the season. You know, obviously came alive in the fourth quarter of both games to get the Eagles the win, but there was no run game. Obviously, defense was struggling early. This game was on Nick's shoulders, and not even just the punishment he took, just some of the timely throws that he had to make in order to get the Eagles to victory. If he wasn't virtually flawless, I mean, he wasn't perfect, but if he wasn't as good as he was, the Eagles don't win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see after, you know, the issues that he had the first couple of weeks were well documented. I think, you know, people have talked about it. And it was good to see him bounce back in a game where he faced a lot of adversity. There were a lot of issues. Obviously, he took a lot of hits. It was a really tough defense, the toughest defense he's faced yet. So it was good to see him have that kind of a performance in those circumstances.
Yeah, Greg Cosell was here watching the game with us. He said it was the best game that Nick has played as a pro. And I think that comes down to the hits he was taking and stuff like that. So yeah, it was great to see. I hope he can bounce back and do it again against San Francisco.
I mean, the only other game that you would compare would be the Oakland game.
That's what Chip said. Yeah,
but guys were so wide open in that game.
Yeah, I think I would have thrown for four touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
Three.
Did you in bubble ball at least?
I threw a few last night.
I threw 10. We won.
Yeah, we were on. That's right, 10 to 8.
Okay. Congratulations.
Got the first W of the year, 1-1 against Circle.
Yep.
Very nice.
You know, for a long time, I had no competition, and bubble ball was starting to get monotonous, win after win after win. Nobody stepping to the forefront.
No one pushing you.
Nobody pushing me. It's hard. It's hard to make yourself better when there's no one to push you. So Circle has done a really good job. He's real competition, and
good.
I look forward to the challenge of playing him every week.
It was a big win last week.
Look forward to the challenge. Are you channeling your Andy Reid there?
Yes, that's right.
Looking on the defensive side of the football, I'm interested to see if this defense can make the strides that last year's defense made. Because at the end of September last year, Eagles were coming off that 50-burger against Denver, and there were all questions about whether the defense would be good enough. And then they went on the string of the consecutive games, the 9 consecutive games, holding opponents to fewer than 22 points. So far this season, you know, they've had a couple lapses. They had the 17-point game against Jacksonville, which was impressive. But Indianapolis and Washington put up their fair share of points against them. Can this defense turn things around in the, you know, second and third quarters of the season to help get this team, you know, help fulfill the potential of this football team?
Yeah, I have faith in obviously in Bill Davis to get this thing going. A lot of people are really upset with how the defense is performing. I think that they're performing pretty well. Obviously, there are things that you want to clean up, but this is the NFL. Those teams are going to score. You're going to give up yards. That's the way the league is now. That's the way the game is now. You're not going to be able to stop everything every single week. I think they did a really, really good job keeping Alfred Morris and that outside zone in check last week. The pressure in terms of, you know, the pass rush, you know, I talked about it earlier this week in the article, is, you know, look, they're getting the ball out extremely quickly, both Washington and Indianapolis last week. The pressure's not always going to be there if it's coming out in the top of your three-step drop. It's tough to get there.
I think this was, not the results necessarily, but more of the style of defense that we expected heading into the season rather than the Indianapolis game where they let the Colts run on them as much as they did. Stopping Alfred Morris, as you said, I think the run game has been the focus of the defense for a while. And if Kirk Cousins is going to make the kinds of throws into really tight windows that he was making, You sort of just tip your hat to him.
That's what I mean. There's going to be games where a quarterback's going to make throws like that. And
that throw he made to Garcon on the sideline was
ridiculous.
Like unbelievable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think back to the Jim Johnson days where the team would say, if we hold opponents to 17 points or fewer, we'll win games. Are those days over?
That's for the first half.
Yeah. I think if any team holds in today's NFL,
yeah,
if any team does that, yeah, they're going to win more games than they're going to lose. No
Certainly.
Question. I mean, that's a pretty good standard.
So let's start transitioning to this Sunday's matchup at Levi's Stadium, Field of Jeans Stadium.
Nice.
I like that.
I think they've come up with that. I'm not that smart to come
that's
up with
that. That's pretty good,
own,
though.
But
it's not bad.
To preview this Sunday's game, let's do a little buy or sell take on this matchup.
All right.
And we'll start with the quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Do you buy or sell the performance that he's had to this point in 2014.
I already know what Bo's going to say.
What I don't understand necessarily the conceit of this game. What am I buying for this week before
moving forward
as a stud quarterback?
Yeah.
I buy him. I think he's if I'm starting a franchise, he's probably towards the back end of my top 10 quarterbacks. Just because of what he does with his arm and his legs. He's a dynamic talent. I think he'd be in that 8, 9, 10 conversation.
He is a dynamic talent. There are going to be games where he's going to make some of those throws. We saw against Chicago some of the errors you're going to get with him inside the pocket, throwing the football. He's still developing in that stage of the game. So when there's pressure, obviously he's got the ability to beat with his legs, and you're going to take that, and you're going to see that every once in a while. But can he continue to improve inside the pocket and throwing the football?
From what you're seeing on tape, how is his decision making been this season?
Up and down. I mean, it seems like they are focusing more on getting the ball out quickly. So that's what it'll be interesting this week is obviously teams the last 2 weeks have had success in the quick game, the quick passing game I'm referring to, against the Eagles defense. A lot of rub routes. We saw it against Washington, a ton of rub routes where they're, you know, running off of all the receivers are running off of each other to get each other open and create space. And San Francisco does that a lot. We saw a big 32-yard gain, I think it was, to C.V. Johnson out of empty. They ran a lot of empty this week. And that's kind of what their focus has been the past few weeks. I think that's what you're going to see on Sunday. Especially, I mean, Vernon Davis is healthy. He's going to be back. But last week they did a lot of five wide, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not they decide to do that again, because typically that they have not been that kind of team. Typically they're, you know, two running backs or two tight ends. They, you know, they're going to play inside a certain space and try and create matchups with those tight ends. Last week they spread it out, so it'll be interesting to see if they follow that script.
They did not trust Derek Carrier.
No, they did not trust Derek Carrier. DC89 did not get the full trust there.
So they didn't get carried on anyway,
nice.
I guess, so to speak.
Nice.
Try to work it in there.
All right.
Frank Gore, I'll say Kaepernick, I'll buy on him, 70% completion percentage this season, obviously unique talent. Moving to Frank Gore, I mean, it seems like he's in the twilight of his career. They've reduced his role. I'm selling on Frank Gore. And it's interesting because the Niners, the run of success they've had with Jim Harbaugh has been behind offensively a power run game led by Gore. And it seems like they're trying to transition away from that, but it seems like in the backfield they don't have the guy they can count on yet to be able to help that.
It's, you know, every year seems like the year that we're going to say goodbye to Frank Gore.
Yes.
But I will buy him looking like former Wake Forest linebacker Chance McClinic, but as far as being a starting linebacker or a starting wide receiver or running back, whichever position he plays, I mean, he's good, but I think the time for Carlos Hyde is coming pretty soon.
I think it's coming soon. Right now, I'm still going to buy away from a fantasy perspective. Here's the issue is that the last carry that Frank Gore had last week came in the middle of the second quarter. So obviously they are starting to rely more on Kaepernick as a runner, but also Carlos Hyde is starting to get in the mix there. He's definitely got more juice in his legs at this point, obviously, in his career. But Frank Gore can still get it done. He showed earlier on this season he had a number of bigger runs. He's had a lot of success out of the zone read. I put in the Eagle Eye in the Sky article coming this week, later on this week, a preview in the 49ers. They average over 4.5 yards a carry out of the read option with it when it's Gore, and it's 3.3 yards per carry when it's Kaepernick. So Gore could still get the job done. I think he's still a viable weapon for them on the ground.
And he's a more reliable pass protector.
No
he's
question.
A more reliable pass receiver. So there's still a role for him, obviously.
Absolutely.
In the offense.
Let's do a little buy or sell with, I'm going to go Michael Crabtree here. Top wideout for this team. I mean, I'll buy. I mean, very good chemistry with Kaepernick. You know, he's not, you know, your prototypical number one guy in my estimation. He's not a complete game breaker, but a good complementary piece when you have Bolden and Vernon Davis and all the other weapons. Stevie Johnson now, who's heavily involved in the mix as well.
Yeah, I mean, I sell him as a stud number one receiver, but I still think he's probably Colin Kaepernick's, you know, big play number one option. Yeah, so
I think so. He's averaging about, I think it's just under 9 yards a catch right now. And really, I mean, their big play guy is Vernon Davis. That's who they're trying to get open down the field. They run a lot of wheel routes with Vernon Davis, a lot of those deep corner routes with Vernon Davis. Crabtree is obviously a shifty, elusive guy, a dynamic playmaker, shown the ability to have good hands, but is not their big play threat. Vernon Davis is their big play threat.
How do you think the Eagles defense will defend Vernon Davis? Who will be the guys given that big responsibility?
I got to think that it'll be Nolan Carroll, and I think it'll be Malcolm Jenkins. I think those are the two guys right now you look at as possibly being those guys who can stick with Vernon Davis if you're going to play man-to-man coverage, being responsible for him in coverage.
Go to the defensive side of the football. How about the 49ers front seven? Without Bowman and without Alden Smith, it's still a very good run defense. Yep. But in terms of what we think of when we hear 49ers defense, you would have to. I would sell right now.
I'd sell as pass rush for sure. They're not getting a rush right now with that with the front four. Ahmad Brooks is a really good player, but he's not Alden Smith for sure as a pass rusher. They're looking at some of those two young guys. They've got two young guys there, Corey Lemonnier, who was a second-round pick out of Auburn last year, and Aaron Lynch, who was a mid-round pick out of South Florida, two big guys with long arms that you know they're hoping can develop into that pass rusher while Alden Smith is still out. But they're not getting it. They blitzed a lot more against Arizona last week. So I think that, you know, right now they're not getting the pass rush, and that's part of the reason why they're not doing too well defensively, especially on third down. They're last in the league.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. Last in the league on third down. So, friends,
sorry, Bo.
There's no reason for me to be here with friends talking football.
There's plenty of things for you to be here for, Bo.
Jibber, jabber, just jibber, bad jabber, jokes.
Mumbo, jumbo, there we go. Denial, friend? Yeah, thank you.
Last thoughts. I mean, this is a Niners team that 1-2 out of the gate. They're fired up. I mean, they believe the refs cost them the game against Arizona. They're going to be back at home. They know they need to have this game. It's going to be a tough matchup to go out there to the West Coast, but the resolve this Eagles team has shown through the first three games of the season makes you think that anything is possible with this team.
I think you want to the big key going into this week is making Kaepernick uncomfortable while keeping him contained. That's the big thing, and if you're able to do that, I think you're going to limit this offensive production.
There are people, Eagles fans, who sort of feel like this is sort of a gravy game where if you had said before the season you were going to be 3-1 after 4 weeks, you'd be fine. It's not a big deal if you lose. I think this is a game that the Eagles can definitely win. I think this is a 49ers team that people are overrating because of how good they've been in recent years. I think this is a team that's there to be beaten, and I think the Eagles have a really good chance on Sunday.
All right, so the Eagles.
I have one more question.
Okay.
It goes back to the Washington game a little bit. But where does Chris Baker now rank among your guys' least favorite players in the league?
Of guys now?
I'm going to be honest. I don't even think that he's in the top three on the Redskins right now.
Really?
David Amerson just really has taken over as my least favorite player.
Really?
I just can't stand him.
Do you think this is
with the head every time he
this was a conversation. Time. Do you think that Jim Haslett teaches his guys in the secondary to lead with their helmet? Because they all do it.
I don't think he teaches it that way. I just think that they
But how could they all do it?
Maybe they just don't teach it the right way. It's not that they teach him to lead with his head. I just think they don't stress it enough to teach correct technique.
It's so they do it top to bottom in the second.
I would agree. So, I can't stand
okay,
it.
So, okay, so who's 2-3? Washington, yeah. Well, D'Angelo Hall is up there.
Yeah, D'Angelo Hall for sure.
Brandon Marion.
See, I don't hate D'Angelo Hall because he gets beat time and time again. It's great to have him on the field.
Yes.
My key for disliking guys is them, playing well for no reason against the Eagles.
So like Joe Webb.
So yeah. So like Tony Romo, I don't like Tony Romo, but I don't hate him because he always chokes against the Eagles. So like D'Angelo Hall. Like I'm happy to have D'Angelo Hall on the field. I'm trying to think of somebody who's
played well but just didn't deserve it. Like how the Eagles made Victor Cruz.
Or someone who continues to.
Yeah, Victor Cruz is a tough guy to like.
Yeah, I really hate Victor Cruz.
Just because that was his coming out party.
I
really hate Victor Cruz.
I remember a guy from the Giants emailed me, like, really, Victor Cruz?
Yeah.
You know, you let him go for whatever he had in that game against Nnamdi.
Was it Nile?
No, it was not. No. Close, but not Nile.
But it's not good radio of me just sitting here thinking. But
yeah, yeah, that's a tough
Rondae Barber. I really hate Rondae Barber.
Well, everyone in Philly.
Yeah, for good reason.
Yeah.
For good reason.
I really hate Rondae Barber. Remember they were like celebrating that team when Foles went down there, right?
Yes.
That was so good. And Rondae Barber's face.
Gosh.
Yeah. that was the good juice
good
right there.
That's got to be a drop right there moving forward.
That was good.
Yeah.
I remember. I think I still have that picture upstairs somewhere. Just of Rondae Barber's.
Yeah. All despondent.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Eli, obviously. I don't like Eli, but he's such a...
But the faces he makes, they're great.
Yeah. He's a child.
There's guys like the Jeremy Shockeys, like the Strahans. Like, the guys are, like, sort of the...
Shockey's a good one.
Strahan was a good one.
You know, those guys from the previous era. I'm trying to think of the current... Like, there's no one else...
Brian, who do you got? Anybody?
There's no one on the Giants that's above and beyond.
I don't like Romo. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Romo's a guy.
But the thing is that Bo's right. He hasn't really burned us, but he did in 2009 when we got to the playoffs. He beat McNabb. I was a little salty about that one. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't like D'Angelo Hall, like he says.
Yeah,
D'Angelo.
Someone who thinks.
I got to be honest. Brandon Jacobs used to be one. I hate
him.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, that era of Giants team you despise.
Someone who thinks they're better than they are.
Ahmad Bradshaw. He would do the celebration. He did it the other day. He did it 2 weeks ago, too.
And almost hit himself in the nuts.
Yes, he did. But, I mean, I can't stand Bradshaw either.
Well, the thing is, Bradshaw would yell at our sideline. He was he thought he was better than he was.
Oh, he would. Yeah. See, that's what we don't know.
He'd get,
we don't
like,
know,
five carries a game, and he'd think he was the best player.
Yeah.
See, Chris Baker could maybe evolve into that because he's going to be a big story probably leading into the second matchup with Washington.
The problem is he's going to be a backup because Barry Cofield's going to be back in, and it seems like a very...
That's
like,
what makes it great, though, is that it's going to be a backup guy who...
But he seems very, like, soft-spoken. He's like, oh, I didn't mean... You know, like, I don't know. Like, if he was, like, more, like, trash-talkers about it, then maybe I would feel different.
He tweeted about how you got to play to the whistle with a picture of him leveling Foles. If he were soft-spoken, he could have just let it go, and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's trying to keep it, and I still don't understand how... It's how Washington has not been fined, or the NFL said it's a legal hit. I mean, he'll probably get fined for being ejected, but that the NFL has deemed it a legal hit. I mean, the rule specifically says that basically the quarterback has defenseless player protection.
I got one going back. Jason Sehorn.
Interesting.
Good one.
Couldn't stand him.
That's an interesting one.
I've got two other ones.
Are we talking just NFC East?
No,
give me no, give me no, give me anybody.
I didn't like Warren Sapp either.
Oh,
yeah.
Even today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, if we're doing that, like, Heath Evans is on the list.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Everybody's. I got two more.
Merle Hodge.
I like Merle.
Steve Smith, not the good Steve Smith.
Oh, the bad traitor, Steve, the traitor, yeah. Steve Smith. the one who was
Steve Smith, the traitor, who just went down 2 yards. Yeah, he'll always be on the list for me.
From that era of the Giants team. That's true. Just that. That team then was
what
the worst.
What a schlub.
You mean Malcolm Smith's brother?
I don't get it.
Malcolm Smith, the Super Bowl MVP.
That's Steve Smith's brother?
That's Steve Smith's brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There we go.
Wow.
Oh, dropping good. Knowledge.
I'm glad that makes Steve Smith feel worse about himself.
I'm sure,
his brother's
I'm
the Super Bowl MVP.
I wonder, you know, it's like you were waiting for when he went down 2 yards short of the first down for him to just pull up his jersey and be a Giants one underneath or something.
I know,
like that.
Exactly. And then I'd be lying to myself and the listeners if I didn't say Mike Kafka.
I was thinking of you, Bo, when I was, cause I was watching the Thursday night game with the Falcons, and he's on the sideline picking his nose.
I didn't know that. I gotta see that.
I think I was just meaning to text you, but they, you know, they're showing the Bucks.
Excellent.
They're showing the Bucks sideline, and he's in the
back. Oh, that's great. And his buddies were like, Mike, you're on camera. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Oh, man.
Oh, bad blood still.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. I'll hold on to grudges.
I'm surprised Mike Bell's name hasn't made its way into the program.
I just feel bad for Mike Bell. He was so bad. He's the worst player I've ever seen. But
you still stand that was the worst one. He came last on your Bo Football Focus.
Yeah, two steps of carry. He played a whole season after he was traded. He had no runs over 3 yards. Do you think you could get 40 carries and get one over 3 yards?
I might be able to. Mm. You tell me. You've watched me play bubble ball.
That's true. I don't know. You could maybe break an arm tackle.
Two steps of carry. Oh.
All
right.
So there's got to be someone we're forgetting, but we'll get it.
We'll
next.
Come back to it.
Yeah. It's something we can revisit down the line, but. Again, Eagles, 49ers this Sunday, 4:25 kickoff. Kickoff show Sunday?
4 o'clock.
Four o'clock.
4 o'clock. And then the postgame show, of course, the halftime report, and then the postgame show presented by Rico with Ike Reese.
Ike Reese, Greg Cosell.
Very nice. And Bo Wolf.
Bo Wolf.
I hate Jim Harbaugh.
Well, there you have it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And on that note, that'll do it for the Eagles Insider Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.